You are now listening to the Mindful Mom Podcast, a show where we expose the dirty truth of motherhood through laughter, love, and your stories. Come along with us on this journey to become mindful moms. We are your hosts, Tati, mother of one, and Dayanara, mother of two. Let's get into today's episode. Happy Monday, guys, and we're back with another episode. Today, we're going to be talking about our birth stories, how we told everybody, and everything.
I was traumatized in all different ways.
It's crazy. So I'll start off. How I found out is different than most people finding out they're pregnant.
Sure.
So I conceived in, if I did my math right, October.
I don't think I remember at all, but continue.
So, October, I didn't find out until February the 10th that I was pregnant.
Oh, you remember the exact day?
Oh, yes. Because I have it in my Snapchat, memories. I remember how many days from when I found out that I told her dad.
Oh my goodness. Well, that was a very big day for you in general, so.
Yeah. So, okay. Let's say February 10th, I went to the hospital for the second time due to something on my leg. Mm-hmm. I had like a big knot on the bottom of my leg and it looked like a bruise. And a week prior, I had went to the hospital and they did a x-ray and an ultrasound on the bruise, mm-hmm. and put me on an antibiotic, sent me home.
They always try to get somebody an antibiotic. Go ahead.
So they sent me home, said take it for a week. Of course, if it gets worse, come back. It got worse. Mm-hmm. So a week later, I went back and they were like, okay, well, we need to check and see if it's a blood clot. So we need to do ultrasound on your whole leg because basically, your blood vessels for your leg start like right underneath your stomach.
Yeah.
So her dad was with me, took me to the hospital. And I went back for, we were still in the waiting room. And they took me back for an ultrasound to do check and see if I have a blood clot. And so, you know, I'm like, whatever, do it. And she puts it on there and then she takes it off really quick and then walks out the room.
And that would freak me the hell out.
I'm like, okay, like weird, but whatever. She comes back in and was like, oh, well, I remember you from last week. I'm just trying to see if, or what I'm checking today or whatever. So she did it and then she's like, oh, they have a room ready for you. I said, okay, cool. So she took me to my room and I sat in there for a little bit. In the meantime, my phone died. My charger was out in the waiting room, whatever. They hooked me up to an IV and then the doctor came in. Well, no, the doctor came in and he's like, asking questions or whatever. And it was like, did they bring you pain medicine? And I was like, no. And he's like, well, are you in pain? And I'm like, yes.
So let me ask you this real quick, because anytime, you know, I go to the hospital for anything, for those of you who don't know, I do have a chronic illness. So I go to the hospital quite a lot. The very first question they always ask me, like, when was your last period? You know, is there a chance you could be pregnant? Did they ask you that when you were there and you were like, oh, you know, no, I'm not pregnant or whatever?
Yeah. So, okay.
Or did they just assume you already knew you were pregnant and just came in there and talked about it? Like,
so they didn't know I was pregnant until they did the ultrasound on my whole leg to see if I had a blood clot. Mm-hmm. So they asked, of course, can there be a chance that you're pregnant? Of course, I said no. I'm on birth control. I still get my periods regularly. And, you know, once you get on birth control, your periods kind of change.
For sure.
So with mine, my periods got like super late and it only lasts for a couple of days when I was used to a super heavy period.
Yeah.
So I thought it was just my birth control, just switched to another one, whatever. So I said no and told them the last day that I had a period and kept pushing. So then he asked if I had pain medicine, said no. So he was like, well, let me go put the order in. And shortly after that, he comes back and was like, I'm glad I didn't put the order in for your medicine. And I'm like, why? Like, mm-hmm. I'm in pain. Why like, not?
What do you mean we're glad? I'm over here suffering.
Exactly. Like, it was to the point where I could barely walk. Oh. It hurt so bad. And he was like, you're pregnant. And his exact words is, you're not a little bit pregnant. You're a lot of bit pregnant. You're 16 and a half weeks pregnant. And I just looked at him and I'm like,
this is a joke. You looked at the wrong skin. Right. You're not talking about I'm
like,
me.
No. He's like, you didn't know? And I'm like, no, I didn't know. Like, sir, no. I lost 32 pounds from.
Isn't that ridiculous?
Yeah. So.
You think you're getting in the best shape of your life. Meanwhile,
I have a baby inside. So literally lost 32 pounds. I want to say I started losing weight in September, and then to February I lost 32 pounds. And everybody's like, "How are you losing the weight?" I'm like, "I go to the gym. I eat one time a day. Like I was barely eating
because you were working so damn much."
Yeah. So I would eat one time a day, and we would go to the gym, and that would be that. No signs, nothing. Everybody's like, how didn't you know you're pregnant? Because I lived the everyday life. Like,
it's more common than I think people realize it is, because I was that way too. It's like, how do people just not know that they're pregnant? But it happened to me more than once. So it for sure happens, especially if you're on birth control.
Yeah, and especially like it's your first pregnancy, you don't know what to look out for, nothing. They're like, you didn't feel the baby? No, I didn't feel nothing.
And like, early on, those first movements, it doesn't feel like a kick. Like, they feel like flutters. And, you know, if you've never been pregnant before, you can't really identify what that feeling is.
Yeah. So
you're just like, oh, my stomach feels a little funny.
So he said that. And, like, I was like, sir, I've been drinking. I smoked.
Living your best party girl life.
Yes, like I was hanging out with my friends. Like we would get a box of liquor every weekend and drink, like, don't care. I was like, you know, I eat one time a day, sometimes in the morning, sometimes at night, don't matter.
And, so, okay, go ahead.
Oh. And he was just like, okay, now I need a run test after everything he just told me. And he's like, you've been getting your periods regularly? I'm like, yeah, like I just started new birth control. Like it wasn't new, but it was like,
enough.
Yeah, so I was on one birth control, and at the time I had lost my cousin. I got very depressed, and I was like, I don't know if it is just me losing my cousin, or
the situation, or the medication.
Yeah. So, or is it me losing my cousin plus my birth control, just everything? Mm-hmm. So I was like, can we switch to something? Hated it. Switched back to something else, and then that's what I was on, and then. That was just it. And he was just like, okay, we're going to run tests. And I needed my charger. So I said, can you go get my charger from my boyfriend? He's in the waiting room. And he's like, well, do you want him to come back? And at that moment, I didn't know what I was going to do. Like, of course, I'm 16 and a half weeks. I'm keeping the baby. But
I have much of a choice at that point.
Right. It's kind of like, okay, do I tell him right now? Or do I figure out everything and then tell him? So
I think especially when you get pregnant young, that's a thought that crosses your mind, because you could be in the best relationship ever, but I still feel like when you find out news like that, when you're so young, and anything under 25 to me is young, mm-hmm. but it's like, damn, I need a minute to process before I even tell you.
Yeah. So like I'm sitting here, I'm crying. They hook me up to an IV, and then he's out in the waiting room. So he grabs my charger, he brings it to me, I plug it in. My boyfriend texts me and says, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, they just hooked me up to an IV. They did all
trying to play it off.
Yeah. So he was like, well, everything from this point to when you leave, or for right now, will be as far as checking the baby. So they sent me to do another ultrasound on the baby this time. So I did that. They ran tests, and then he was like, well, for the antibiotic that we will put you on outside of the hospital to make the thing on your leg go away and still be safe would be like $400. And that's with insurance. So he was just like, I'm gonna run one more test, and depending on what that says, we're gonna admit you or let you go home. So they ended up admitting me. So now I have to tell everybody that I'm in the hospital and I'm admitted. Yeah. I'm gonna be there for a couple of days. And I called my best friend crying.
So, okay, pause. Before we get into you starting to tell people, up until this point, up until before you called her, what is going on in your head? Like, what are you thinking?
I'm like, okay, so one, knowing everything, I'm like, okay, is the baby okay? Like, yes, you can do an ultrasound and see the baby and everything be fine. But when, before I had Tatiana, I was a hardcore drinker.
Yeah.
Like, didn't know my limit. And I'm just like, just a couple weeks ago, I went to the bar because I was mad at my boyfriend and was drinking.
Yeah.
So it's kind of just like, okay, is the baby going to be healthy? Is the baby okay? And then you hear like all these stories growing up. Oh, don't smoke while you're pregnant. Don't drink while you're pregnant because this can happen to your baby. And it's like, okay, am I setting my child up for failure?
I feel like the things that we're told about, you know, like drinking or smoking while pregnant, it's not even this could happen to your baby. It's very much presented like, oh, if you smoke, this will happen to your baby. Like it is going to happen. So in those instances where moms like don't know, you definitely get into a bad place because you're like, holy shit, like what did I unknowingly do to my child?
Yeah, especially with like not eating, because you know, you see all these pregnant people eating all day long, or oh, I have this or I want this, and I'm like, I didn't have any of that. Like I didn't care if I ate or not. I could eat a bag of chips and be okay. So it's kind of weird. So I called my friend and I told her, and I was crying. I'm like, I don't know what I'm gonna do. And she's like, well, whatever you decide, I'm right here. We'll get through it.
Yeah.
Man, no man, whatever. And I was like, okay. So they admitted me and they moved me upstairs. And I let everybody that came across me in that hospital that if anybody is in this room, do not bring up baby.
Yeah, it doesn't leave this room.
Yeah. I don't care who it is. Don't say nothing. You need to talk to me about a baby. You better talk to me when they leave. And they were pretty much like, okay.
Yeah.
They were like, well, if we see anything or if like we take, because they constantly were taking blood. If anything comes back wrong, then we have no choice but to say something.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay.
But they're really good about like protecting people's privacy, especially when a pregnancy is involved. They'll like kick people out the room. But yeah. Go ahead.
So I was like, okay, well, so when I told the doctor that, and I told the nurse downstairs that. So when they moved me upstairs, I walked out of my room. My boyfriend at the time was in the room. And I walked out the room and went to the nursing table and I said, I let them know downstairs not to discuss the baby if someone's in the room. And, you know, I want that done. So they followed it. Like, one nurse came in and she's like, is anybody in the room? And I'm like, no. Because, you know, they had a bathroom in there and all that stuff. And I was like, no. And she's like, well, congratulations. How do you feel? And I'm like, nervous, scared, and not telling anybody right now. Like,
Hearing congratulations within the first like 48 hours that you find out is such a like a mind trip, because it's just like, what the fuck are you saying congratulations for? I'm losing my mind right now.
Right. Like, do you not know? Like, I'm young, okay?
I'm currently losing my shit.
Right. Okay. So, you know, the next day, her dad goes home because he has to go to work, whatever. So he goes home, so I stay there. My mom comes and visits. My friend comes and visits. And no discussion. So then it was the night before I got discharged that I told her dad. And he came from work and he was just like, oh, how you feeling, whatever. And I told him, oh, they'll probably discharge me tomorrow. So then it was just like, you know, he was laying with me and I was like, I have something to tell you. And I was like, before I tell you... you know, depending on how you take it, you can go.
Yeah.
Like, I told him from the jump, you don't have to stay. You don't have to be involved. Like, and he was like, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? I was like, I'm pregnant. And he was so happy. And I was just like, okay. But I was like, if you don't want to be involved, tell me that now.
Yeah.
Because
we're not going to play these games.
Yeah. Like, I can do it by myself. I'll figure it out. And he chose to be involved. And
I hate that had to be like your defense, though. That just goes to show how traumatized we are from like just life in general. Because we're just like, before I even say anything, you can go.
Yeah, it's just like, that's what you see. Like, oh, you know, it's young like, pregnancies, dads don't stay around. Or, you know, being an African-American woman or African-American man, you don't participate in raising your child.
Yep.
So, from there, he called his brothers, called your child's father, and told them.
So, okay, a little background of where I was during this time. My daughter's a little bit older than yours, and so I already had my baby or whatever. And I remember getting a DM from you, like, asking me, like, how I felt when I was pregnant. Like, you know, just questions like that. And if you've ever, like, been the first person to have a baby, like, in your town or, like, you know, in your grade, if you had a kid young, people always ask you questions like that when they're pregnant. Mm-hmm. They're like, so, when you found out you were pregnant, like, how did you feel? And it's just like, girl, you're pregnant. You could just tell me. So it was, like, one of those questions. And I remember I was sitting in the car and I was telling my kid's dad, I was like, I think Tati's pregnant because she just asked me this. And a couple days later, he told me that you were. So. Yeah.
So he told them, but then I was just like, okay, well, we need to figure out a way to tell our parents. You know, I'm kind of like a Pinterest person. Like, oh, you tell in the cutest ways, then you find this and you find that. Well, I'm like, okay, planning mode. I want to get a cute little onesie or something to tell them. That didn't happen.
I wanted to do that, honestly, for both of my girls, but I felt like it was robbed from me because of, like, the stereotype and the pressures put on young moms. Like, it's nothing to celebrate. Like, that's something, like, I heard growing up when, like, girls would get pregnant, like, in high school. Like, my parents always say, oh, like, that's nothing to celebrate. So it's just, like, while I wanted to do that, it didn't happen either.
So that didn't happen. I got out the hospital, went to Walmart, and my dad seen me. He didn't say nothing, he just seen me, whatever. Got what we needed, and we left. And then a couple of days later, I had bought pickles and hot dogs for the house. Don't know why.
Because you were pregnant.
Right. So, my mom came in the kitchen. I was on FaceTime with her dad, and my mom came in the kitchen, and she's like, are you pregnant? I was like, what?
You know what? I plan to do something really cute to tell my family when I got pregnant with Alea, but my mom did the same thing. She called me, she was like, are you pregnant? I was like, damn.
Yeah.
I didn't even get to tell you yet.
And I was just like, what are you talking about? She's like, I'm going to hit you. Tell me. And I'm like, yeah. She's like, you're lying. I was like, no, I'm pregnant. I was like, yeah. And then she like asked him, but he was at work, so he didn't hear her. And I was like, yeah. I was like, I'm 16 and a half weeks pregnant. She's like, what? And then my mom was happy. She went into planning mode. So that whole thing. And then my dad was literally in his room. And I was like, well, I'm not telling him right now.
Right.
So she's like, you have until the end of this weekend to tell him, or I'm telling him. So I threw something together. I just got a bunch of like grandpa names. And then typed like this little note and was like, oh, like, figure out what you're gonna be called by July, whatever. And put it in the little box. And he was like, I knew it. I knew it when you walked into Walmart that day.
How y'all know it? But y'all ain't noticed these past 16 weeks. Maybe somebody could have put me on and let me know.
Right. So, he was like, you looked like your mom did when she was pregnant with your little brother. And I was like, oh, all right. So then that happened. So then it was like, okay, so how are we telling your parents? Like,
right.
How are we doing that? So he had played a joke on his mom one time. It was like, oh, Tassie's pregnant. This was like early on in our relationship. And so, you know, she lived in New York. So it's kind of like, okay, we have to call her and tell her, well, this time we're for real. So we FaceTimed her and was like, oh, she's pregnant. And of course, she didn't believe us because
of the prank before. Yeah. She's like, okay, I'm not falling for this shit again.
Right. So she said she didn't believe us until my mom called her and was like,
yeah. Oh, damn. Yeah.
So then it was just his dad that we had to tell, which, of course, that was taking away from us, at least the way that we wanted to tell him. We were trying to figure out. Of course, his mom put him on a little thing like, oh, if you don't tell your dad by this time, of course, I'm telling him.
Yeah.
So it was like, okay, well, the other grandparents kind of already know. So we need to figure out how we're going to tell your dad. And I went back to, okay, I want to do a onesie or something.
Something cute.
Yeah. Because I was like, okay, well, at least my dad got something cute, like a little box to figure out what grandparent name you want to call, it or whatever. But like, okay, so the other grand, like the last person that needs to know, you have to figure out a cute way to do it. So I was like picking out onesies and I found this really cute one that I liked on Pinterest. And I was like, okay, this is what we're going to do.
Yeah.
So one day I went to his house. I got him food while I was on my break and I went to his house and his cousin was over and we were in the kitchen. He was eating and all of them were drinking. And of course, I was on my break. So they offered me a drink and I was like, no, but I had an excuse because I'm on my break. I got to go back to work.
Right.
So that was my excuse. And then his cousin was like, well, just don't have one of these. And Ty made a noise.
Just give it all away. Can't hold water.
He was like, and like that or something. And when I tell you his stepmother went like in like, what was that for? What was that for? And I was like, and she's like, are you pregnant? Are you pregnant? And I wasn't going to answer. I wasn't going to tell. Like,
right. Like, this is your family. You tell.
You be the one to tell. And it was just like, okay, well, if we could play it off tonight. We need to get the onesie done and tell them
we can do it
ASAP.
Tomorrow.
Yeah. Like, we don't have no more time. Like, we got to get it on the road. So, unfortunately, we couldn't get past the night. It was...
I can only imagine. Especially, like, knowing, like, the things I know now.
Yeah.
Poor you.
So, nobody got a cute thing except for my dad.
Well, that's one out of... the four grandparents.
Yeah. So, yeah. I'm just like, all right, the next one. Everybody's getting a cute weight. Like, nobody's going to take that from me. Nobody's going to know information and then lie.
Yeah.
And be like, oh, I knew the whole time.
Yeah. That always gets so annoying.
It's frustrating. So... of course, with how things played out, his dad was mad. I mean, not mad at the fact that I was pregnant or, you know, nothing like that. It was just like they were working together at the time. So they take an hour ride to work and an hour ride home from work. And it was like, why couldn't you tell me?
Yeah.
And it wasn't even like even he said, it's not a conversation you have in the car. Like, of course, you can have any conversation in the car, but I wanted it to be cute.
Look, I get both sides. I, of course, get where, you know, you and Ty, well, get where, you know, you and him were like, you know, we're going to wait and we're going to do it our way. But also as a parent, I get where, like, his dad was like, I am with you for this long every day and you couldn't tell me. But that's something also parents... I'm sorry. You have to realize your kids really don't owe you that. Dare I say? I'm sorry. But they don't. And you've got to get over it. Sorry. You may be disappointed, but you have no right to be angry.
Yeah. So, of course, all of this happened while I was on break. So, I went back to work. I left.
Like the most traumatic shit happens on your break. And then you got to go back to work like nothing happened.
And I'm like, all right, well. My break is over. I gotta go back. See y'all later.
But what a perfect excuse to leave, though.
It was really tense in there. And then, like, his cousin, like, to this day was like, I didn't know that was gonna go like that. And I was like, girl, me either. Because I can't, like, I feel like, you know, yes, you would want to know that your child's having a baby. And yes, all of that. But also, when people play into situations, it makes it harder.
Yeah. And also, his dad has to realize, like, you know, you're not his daughter. It's your body. You're the one who's pregnant. So you dictate who we tell and when. You know what I mean? Like, he shouldn't have held that over his head, because at the end of the day, he was following your lead of when you were ready to tell people. So,
yeah. So that was that. I went back over after work, and, you know, it wasn't so, like, everybody wasn't there anymore. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, okay. And y'all just found out big news and I came back.
Right.
And it was just like, he's going to be a part of everything. If anything costs anything, he's going to pay for it. And all I kept thinking was, I have insurance, so I'll be all right. So that happened. I went into party planning mode. Pretty much my first ultrasound, I could figure out the gender because I was so far along.
Yeah.
I missed a lot of tests. So my first appointment, I was like, this test.
Getting all that stuff done. Yeah.
So then we planned the date for the gender reveal, which mm-hmm. was on my grandfather's birthday because he passed away.
Never knew that.
Yeah. I was hoping for a boy because shortly after my grandfather died, I had a dream, and he came to my dream, and I was holding a baby boy.
Well, maybe you have a boy coming to you one day.
So, you know, we planned it on that day, and I knew, like, who knew from his friends, and, you know, nobody really, like, two people knew on my friend list.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like, okay, you know, they're all going to get invited to this gender reveal. Mm-hmm. And that's when everybody's going to find out that I'm pregnant.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, I have to tell my job. Mm-hmm. So I
Everybody worked there.
Yes. Everybody worked at Skyline. It was freaking crazy. And I hit it. Like, right after I got out the hospital, I started to grow a bump. And I was wearing hoodies under my work shirts and everything. So
just be hot as hell at work.
Yeah. Rolling up the sleeves, like, why don't you just take off your
And
it was like I didn't have a big bump, so it wasn't like, oh, you're showing. Like, I had a little, like, tiny little thing, like, could barely
you
tell.
Honestly just look bloated, like, looking back at pictures. You do not look pregnant.
I grabbed the owner, the GM, and the assistant GM, and all of them in the office, like, need to tell y'all something. Because at the end of the day, this is going to affect y'all in a couple of months. So I was like, I'm pregnant. And
I can't even imagine how that went. Just because, you know, I know them too. So I just can't imagine how that goes.
Having the close relationship with them that I did, it was like them looking at me like they're my parents.
Yeah, they were like family.
Yeah. So it was kind of like, you know, not everybody was a fan of her dad. Mm-hmm. So, you know, people have opinions. People felt ways, especially because, you know, I was a manager. He was a team lead at the time.
Yeah.
So it don't always look good.
But which I hate, because although there is a position difference, there wasn't, like, this life or age difference, you know what I mean?
I mean, he's, a year older than me.
Yeah. So and outside of the workplace, like, it is totally fine.
Yeah. And I mean, like, for the longest time, we were messing around and everybody thought we weren't messing around.
Yeah.
Like,
it's like, well, no hiding it now.
Right. Like, me and him were talking since, the February before I found out I was pregnant. We were talking from February, and then we started dating in July. And then I conceived in October and then found out the next February I was pregnant. So it wasn't like, you know, some short time. Ty tried to talk to me for a while. Like, before I actually gave him a chance, it was,
This back in the days when I could not stand him. You want to talk about hate somebody and just roll your eyes every single time they come in the room. He just, but that's also mostly my kid's father's fault.
So, yeah, and then they knew, and I was a part of the management team, so then it was time to tell management that I was having a baby. So I waited a couple of days after telling the managers, and I literally, it was on a Monday. We had just got out of our Monday meeting, and I grabbed all of them. I was like, come here. And I was like, I gotta tell y'all something. And I was like, I'm pregnant. And they were like, no way. And I
It's like,
like,
yes way, and I'm married 4 months.
yeah. And like, I unzipped my hoodie because I didn't put my like manager shirt on over it yet. I unzipped it and I had a little bump. And they were like, hold on, wait, what? You're pregnant and you have butt. And I was like, and yeah, I'm kind of far along too.
We're basically halfway done
Halfway
at this
done.
point.
Not prepared.
It's like your life changed so quickly within that week or two.
Yeah. And so I was like, well, I wanted to tell you guys because I had my gender reveal this weekend and everybody will know soon. So then we had our gender reveal. I know we were having a girl. Everybody posted and everybody found out.
I remember that. I got into my first, not car accident, but fender bender on the way to your party because I was trying to get a gift bag for the gift that we had got you. And in that Walmart parking lot, I hit somebody's car. And I was like shaking so bad. I was like, you know what? Fuck this. I'm gonna just go there and give it to her.
That is so crazy. And from there, we had the baby shower. And then July 18th, I was induced. I went to my last appointment before being induced. And before my last appointment, she was like, you know, you're pretty much ready. So we'll check and see next week how you feel about being induced. And my thing with being induced was, okay, everybody can plan to be here when she is coming. So I was like, okay. So she was like, your cervix is thinning out. She's head down. They could feel her. I was dilating. So it was like, okay, you're going to be induced July 18th.
Yeah, let's just push it on
Yeah.
through and get you finished. Okay, so talk about getting induced, like when you guys got to the hospital and how that all was until she was born.
Okay, so I had to be at the hospital. It was either like 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning. I think it was 6 o'clock. Had to be at the hospital at 6 o'clock, couldn't eat nothing. Got there, got hooked up to everything, and waited for the doctor to come in. She came in, she broke my water, and that's when everything started. 10 out of 10, don't recommend being induced.
Same.
Don't do it. Have your baby naturally. Don't go early. I mean, of course, if you have to get induced because you're over your time, then get induced. But if you don't have to, don't do it. Worst pain ever. I was like, I can't do this.
And we'll get to when we circle back to me, but imagine all that for it to not work and for you to go home still pregnant.
Yeah. But I was like, I can't do this. And he's like, yes, you can. You have to. You don't have a choice.
Bro, why is that something we say? I can't do this.
Like,
And
you have a
everybody in the room is
choice.
like, girl, oh well. Better figure it out.
So his mom and his siblings and his stepdad were coming down from New York that morning. And my mom was coming from her house to, you know, be there, whatever. So they started everything. I called her, told her they started everything. So she started to make her way up. And 4 hours later, she came out. Mind you, let's get to epidural.
Talk
Didn't
about it.
want to do epidural, was against doing epidural. Still, next pregnancy, not doing epidural. But I did epidural. And they came in, they did it. didn't work. Mm. Pushed the button, didn't work. The anesthesiologist had to come back, redo it.
Oh my God.
So now I'm numbed up, like can't feel nothing.
You don't even know when to push.
And I want to say I was at like 3 or 4 centimeters when that happened. And
so you went from like 3 to 4 centimeters to pushing within 4 hours?
Girl, when I say I went to 3 to 4 centimeters to 9 centimeters in an amount of 10 minutes.
Jesus. And you know what? They do say like it can't happen that fast. Like that's why getting cervical checks and seeing how dilated you are at like doctor's appointments doesn't fucking matter because you can do that. But that just, the amount of pain.
So I want to say the doctor came in to break my water probably like 7, 8 o'clock. That happened with through that whole thing. And you know, I took the pain for a little while, even though I didn't want to, like that shit hurt. Mm-hmm. I took it for a little while and then I was like, okay, I finally can't take it. It was probably like 10 o'clock, maybe a little bit later, didn't work. Labored a little bit more. She came in because my blood pressure started to go up and Tiana's heartbeat started to go down.
Mm, so just common when you get induced.
Yeah. So throw the oxygen mask at me and says, when I tell you to move, you better move.
Way to fucking terrify me.
Yeah. At that point, I was scared. I'm crying. Yeah. And like Ty is knocked out. My mom is.
I would have beat the shit out of him.
My mom wakes him up like, okay, it's serious now.
And this is why everybody needs a support person, because when you're over there going through all that, you know, you're like, he needs to be up, he needs to be here, or, you know, so-and-so needs to be here. But, like, you don't give a fuck about that, okay? You're trying not to die on, you know, the hospital bed. That's why you need a support person to get your man together, because I don't know what they be thinking is going on, but
so
out the loop.
At this point, I'm numb. Got my oxygen mask on. I'm crying because, like, what the hell is about to happen? Yeah,
it gets really scary for a second.
So she's like, okay, go into this position. They, like, him and my mom had to grab my legs, hold my legs, switch me over, had to get in doggy style.
Yeah.
Like, I had to move multiple times just to get her heart rate up. And once that happened, that's when she checked me again. She's like, you're ready to push. So I'm going to need you to try to push. So one of the nurses runs out, calls the doctor. And she's like, I have no feeling of nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Can't even hold my legs.
Oh, my God.
So she's like, try pushing. We're going to try pushing and see what happens. I'm pushing and nothing's happening. So then the doctor, they're like, okay, well, let's give it a little bit of wait. So the doctor comes down. So the doctor comes down. She's trying to get me to push. And she's like, okay, push. Like, every contraction, push. I'm like, I'm pushing.
Right. Nothing's happening.
Nothing happening. So I guess a couple pushes, she moved down a little bit more. She ended up having to get suctioned out because I couldn't push.
Yeah.
And with my pushes, she wasn't coming out. And you risk, you know, my blood pressure going back up or her heart rate going back down. So yeah. It's just like,
okay. At a certain point, they just have to get them out.
Yeah. So it was like, okay, let's get her out. And she came out 6 pounds and she was here.
Aww. Our little tie.
Yes. So I delivered at Calvert Health and you have 2 different rooms. You have your labor and delivery room. Only 2 people allowed in there. And then you have your room that you go in like an hour after you have her.
The postpartum room?
Yeah, that everybody can come in. And like, it was to the point where like his mom and them didn't even get to leave from up the road yet. And I was already like pushing her out. And like, they're like rushing down here. So we did... You know, he cut the umbilical cord, did skin to skin, breastfed her, and just laid there. And like for 2 hours, they let me lay there for 2 hours with her. Just he did skin to skin, I did skin to skin, and then we just lay there until whatever. I don't know. They let me just lay there. So I was like, just embracing that moment.
Yeah.
Before everybody comes.
Mm-hmm.
So, and my cousin, I think my cousin was like the first person to show up. So we got switched to our room. My cousin came, and then everybody just trickled in from there. And we didn't post that we had her until that night.
Oh, wow.
So I think we posted probably like 11 o'clock at night, and we had her at 12 o'clock in the day.
Aww.
So for that time span, like, if you weren't like in the circle, you didn't really know that we had her yet.
Yeah.
So in that, and, you know, being in Calvert, you're like 30 minutes away from Waldorf. So nobody's driving to see you.
Yeah.
Like, your child's father came. Two of our friends.
Which I'm still mad at him for, but it's all right. Because I told him, I remember, like, he told me that he had the baby. And I was like, oh, like, you know, are they okay? Are they healthy or whatever? And he was like, yeah, I'm going to head up there to go see them. I was like, you know, make sure you bring flowers. And he's going to say, what do I need to bring flowers for? Sir, you are the godfather. Like, that is your goddaughter. And you should just do it because it's the next thing you do.
Right. So he came, two of our other friends from Skyflow came. One came, oh my goodness, he is a goofball. But he was so excited. Like, literally, I have videos of him trying to impersonate how I would be in labor if I was to go into labor at Skyflow. And the crazy thing is I worked up to the day I induced.
Yeah.
So, like, they were like,
crazy ass went back to work like 2 weeks later.
They were like, okay, are you gonna have a baby today? And I'm like, I don't know, maybe. Like, it was kind of like, okay, let's have her before my induce date. But if not, then
you know you're getting induced.
Yeah. So that was that. And I feel like for the most part, I had the privacy that I wanted. And kind of controlled it. It wasn't too crazy. Being far away, people don't come.
Yeah.
So, you get the ones that want to come, and you get the ones that are like, oh, I'll just see you when you see you.
Yeah. So and then there's the people who say they're going to come, and then they don't.
Yeah.
Love that. Aw, and that's how you became a mama.
That's how you became a mama of one, and now she's a toddler and crazy and everything else. But, yes, that is my story of how I found out, how I told everybody. Well, told the grandparents. I mean,
the fam.
Yeah.
Nobody else is really important.
Everybody else found out, like, gender reveal.
Right.
Like, if you were invited, you were close circle. If not, then you found out when everybody else found out. Because I wasn't even the first person to post that my gender reveal.
Really?
So one of his friends.
I think we talked about this, and I think I know who it was who posted it, like on their stories on Snapchat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I didn't post anything until like after I got home and got settled. But like I was watching Instagram, watching Twitter, watching Snapchat, and everybody else was posting.
I hate people so much. I have strong feelings about this, which you guys will hear eventually one day. But I hate that.
When so
people take that away from moms, especially first-time moms.
Yeah. I mean, I was like, okay. And then, you know, when certain people find out or, you know, certain people come out the woodworks and they start texting your child's father, it's just like, all right, bitch.
Go on somewhere. Thanks.
But whatever.
Oh, man.
But, yep. I mean, I made it, like, known her first picture won't be posted until I'm ready for her to be posted.
Yes. So. I remember my kid's dad telling me, you know, like, stuff you'd say about, like, the pictures of, like, her name. And I was like, as she should. Like, the fuck?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You think I'm going to agree with you? I don't care if you think it's extra, as she fucking should. She'll share when she's ready to share. And I was like, and you better not be one of his friends who shares shit before she says it's okay.
Literally, Tiana was baby Tito birth.
Tiana, I don't even think I knew her name for like 2 months, because even when we came home from seeing you in the hospital, we didn't talk about it. So, yeah.
Yeah,
it just is what it is.
Tiana was baby Tito 1 month. I posted her at 1 month. Maybe a little bit after 1 month. But, you know, me and her dad talked about it. And we were like, okay, fine, I'll share it, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever. But she was baby T until then.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Proud of you.
Thank you.
As it should be. Oh, man. I'm just looking at this little chunk-a-dunk. And my arm, she's so chunky. Aww. Are you ready to have another one anytime soon?
We said 5. That is the
2 more years, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, Megan is hoping for a boy. I want a boy, so I can be done.
I want a boy too, so I cannot be done. I want 2 more, even though I might die.
But okay. Yeah, I want a boy. So the next one, cross fingers, boy, and I'm done.
We'll be anticipating and waiting.
I mean, my mom had me and then had my brother.
And you guys don't seem that far apart in age now.
I think we're 8 years, but maybe not.
Mm. Me and my brother are 5 years, and me and my sister are 7. I do not feel like a sister to her. Like, I very much so feel like almost like an aunt and a niece relationship, because I always feel like I have to be the responsible one. And then me and my brother, we've gotten really close over the past year. But yeah, 5 years kind of is a big deal when you're younger. He's a senior now in high school. So like, we finally can like click on like a real level.
I think ours is like maybe 5 or 6 years. So not 8, maybe 5 or 6, which... Me and him can't get along to save our lives.
That's a different dynamic. Not going to go there today.
Different. I'm like, sir, where did you come from?
We cannot be related at this rate.
I don't act like that.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so since I have 2 birth stories to share, I'm trying to make mine quick. So, I don't know. Do we want to do oldest first or youngest first?
Do oldest first, so you can pretty much say why, like, you timeline. Did things a certain way with this second.
Okay, that makes sense. So, I was technically 18 when I got pregnant, but I had her at 19. She was born in 2018, and... Aviana was not my first pregnancy. So just a little background there. I had already previously been pregnant and lost the baby. So I was not expecting to be pregnant with Aviana. I was going to urgent care, totally different reason, having pains and just like going through it, and found out through ultrasound, kind of like how you did. But I was not as far along as you were. I don't quite remember how far along I was. I could go back and do the math, but that's how I found out. And I just kind of remember, I just cried. And then like, I became really numb to it because of all the shit that was going on with me at the time, which, oh man, that could be like a whole fucking movie and novel in and of itself, the amount of things that we're going through. Me and her dad were not together. We weren't even talking. Like, it was bad. So I ended up telling him through text like 2 weeks later. And the text basically was like, hey, I'm pregnant and I'm moving to Texas next week. So for reference, we live in Maryland.
Yeah.
So moving to Texas is halfway across the country.
Yeah.
So I was just like, hey, I'm pregnant again and I'm moving to Texas next week. Do you want to meet up and talk about this before I go? And he was going through it too. So we were like both going through endless shit like in our personal lives. And we met at a Denny's on like a Friday before I was supposed to leave. And we sat across from each other for for breakfast and did not talk the whole time. We just sat there in literal silence. And then he drove me home, dropped me off. And that like next day or two, I got on a plane. I went to Texas. Telling my parents, I told them through an audio message. Okay, just to, I don't remember much because I've really blocked out like that part of my life. When I say it was bad.
Yeah.
It was bad. And I really do think like it's a trauma response that I've blacked so much of that out. Like I cannot remember some things, but the only person who knew at the time were like two of my friends. I was not even living with my parents at the time. Like I was living with friends and basically going from place to place. And so I told my parents through like a voice message, because I had tried to like meet up with them so many times, but like we would argue or like they'd be busy or I would be busy. And so I just sent them a voice message at like 1 o'clock in the morning. And I don't remember their response, but I did end up seeing them before I left to go to Texas. And it was like a huge fight. Like, huge fight. I don't even want to go there. Like, I will cry if I think about it. Like, the neighbors came outside to see what was going on type fight. So, yeah, fast forward. I flew to Texas. Somebody's waking up. I flew to Texas to go live with my aunt and my cousin. She kind of was my saving grace. Without her, like, I don't know what I would have did. I, like, legit would not be here, like, on some serious type shit.
I remember when I found out you were pregnant the first time. And we weren't friends at the time.
Mm-mm. We just knew each other.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, okay, whatever. And then
I think when I got pregnant the first time, it wasn't really a shock to anybody. Finding out I was pregnant the second time, everyone's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, because it was like so close together. It was just like, hold on, wait. She just miscarried. She's pregnant again.
Yeah. Which is like a whole other story in and of itself. But we're just not going to go there. Okay, guys, like when I say this is the most traumatic time of my life, I would be in therapy for the rest of my life over this like time year. Yeah. That like year, like, oh my God, so bad. So bad. And on top of that, like I had undiagnosed anxiety. So just imagine like the shit going on in my head. But so yeah, I get to Texas and like I said, like my aunt, she was like my saving grace. And I honestly like got my shit together. Like I was living pretty good. I got to start over. Me and my kid's dad, we did not talk when I first got down there. He was seeing somebody else. We kind of agreed that I would parent on my own. And then shit blew up over me. I'm not even in the state of Maryland, yet all this drama back in Maryland was about me.
Yeah.
And so kind of as we start to go through that, like people are messaging me and calling my phone, all this stuff. That went on for about a couple weeks. And then me and him started talking again. And he kind of decided like, I want to be a family type ordeal. Which, if you've broken up with somebody, especially young, when you're pregnant, you know baby daddies always come around with that I want my family type shit. So he hit me with that, and I fucking fell for it. No, I was actually willing to give him a chance. Don't know why. After the shit that fucking happened. But here we are 5 years damn near later, so it doesn't matter. But I,
we have a choking baby. Are you okay?
This is real life fucking parenthood, okay? Mm-hmm. And my stomach keeps growling, like, I need to eat. We just had fucking fajitas. Okay, so, yeah, so I left like that spring. And then I came back, moved back to Maryland, booked a one-way ticket in October, October 11th. I remember the day I came back to basically give him another chance. And I also like wanted to work things out with my parents. You know, like I wanted to give my daughter a real family because I felt like on my own, I couldn't be a real family for her, which is a total lie. If you are a single mom, you are all that your kid needs. Just want to throw that out there. But I did. So I moved back and the rest of my pregnancy, I was only pregnant for another month.
But yeah.
The rest of my pregnancy, you know, nothing eventful until it was time for me to give birth. So that whole week leading up to me going into labor, I was feeling off. I was working at Macy's at the time. It was the week of Thanksgiving. So I was working like crazy.
Yeah.
And just something was off. I was like, you know, I'm just working too much. Like, it's whatever. It's fine. I'm going to ride this out until Christmas and then I'll stop working because I was due in January. So Thanksgiving Day comes and I remember I texted my kid's dad and I was just like, hey, something feels off. I don't feel right. Can you come spend the day with me? Because he told me like he wasn't going to be with his family for Thanksgiving. He was just going to stay at home. So I was like, will you please come over here? You know, my grandma, like my whole family comes to my parents' house for Thanksgiving. So I was like, everybody is over here. I'm kind of overwhelmed with so many people being in the house. And I would just like really like you to be here.
Right.
Turn into an argument. Of course. Yeah, it turned into this huge argument to the point where he blocked me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mind you, I was just asking this man to come spend some time with me and somehow we end up fighting. And well, I don't want to say he blocked me. He might have just put me on do not disturb. But that's a very key part of this story, okay?
Yes.
My notifications were not going through.
Yes.
That's the important part. When I was blocked on do not disturb, doesn't matter.
Whichever one, it doesn't matter. Just wait till we get to the day.
Till we get to the shit. So, okay, next day, Black Friday.
Oh, yes.
Still not feeling good. I figured, you know, I just ate too damn much on Thanksgiving. I'm going to go out with my dad Black Friday shopping. So we're out, we're shopping. I'm texting my kid's dad again, like, hey, like, I still feel like shit from yesterday. I'm going to go walk around at the malls and stuff today to see if that helps. You know, can you please call me? Please, like, text me back, you know, let me know that you're alive type shit. So, didn't hear from him. Still feeling like shit. But, like, I don't think I was having contractions yet. I just think, like, I just was feeling off. So, 10 o'clock, we, you know, all gathered around to watch fucking Love and Hip Hop in the living room. And I go to sit on the couch, and I have, like, the strongest fucking contraction ever. Like, takes my breath away. And I'm like, and everybody like turns and looks at me and they're like, what is wrong with you? And I was just like, I think I just, yeah, like that. Are you okay? I'm like, I think I just had my first contraction. Is this your story or mine? So I'm just like, you know, I think I just had my first contraction, whatever. And I just brush it off. It went away. I'm watching the show and another one comes. And then another one, and then another one. My aunt was like, are you in labor? And I was just like, no, like, I'm only 32 weeks at this point. So my mom was like, go take a hot shower and come back downstairs, see if that makes you feel better. So I'm like, all right. I get upstairs, I go get in the shower. Oh, baby, that's when they started coming back to back to back. Like, could not catch my breath. I'm screaming in the shower. My dad, he's drunk. He's like, what are you doing all that yelling in there for? And I was just like, I don't know. I was like, something's wrong. And my mom comes in there and she was just like, all right, get out. We're taking you to the hospital. I was like, mom, like, I'm only 32 weeks. Like, I'm not in labor. She was like, I don't want to hear it. Get my clothes on. My mom and my aunt take us. We get in the car. And they take me to the hospital. I gave birth at Southern Maryland. So from my parents' house, that's like a good 20-minute drive.
Yeah.
So my mom is fucking flying. Like, that ride felt so short. I don't know how she got there that fast. But at this point, it is 11 o'clock. We pull up to, like, the little emergency room bay. And I don't remember getting out the car. I don't remember literally any of that. I just remember my aunt's pushing me in the wheelchair. I'm screaming through a contraction. We're wheeling through the emergency room. And the girl at the ER desk tries to fucking take me to registration to fill out some fucking paperwork. And the lady at the registration desk, she was like, this girl's in labor. If you don't take her back to labor and delivery, I'll bring that shit later. And I'm like freaking the fuck out. And at this point, I don't know where my phone is. I don't give a shit. Okay. I'm dying on the inside. They pull me back to a room. They like literally throw me on the bed. I'm like screaming, whatever. They're trying to get an IV in, you know, doing all the things that they do. And the doctor comes in. I don't even know how my clothes got off, but I'm in a gown at this point. And the doctor comes in. She checks me. She's like, oh, yeah. She's like, you're 9 and a half, almost 10. You can start pushing now if you want. And I was like, what? And I just started sobbing and freaking out at that point because it just happened so fast. So when she says that I can start pushing, it clicks in my head. Oh, fuck, I need to tell her dad. So, oh, my God, my stomach is killing me. I'm going to eat after this, I promise. But so it finally clicks. Damn, like, I need to tell her dad. Like, holy shit, where's my phone? So I asked my aunt. She was like, oh, I have it. It's right here. And I was like, here's my password, like, call him, like, let him know, like, I'm giving birth, like, right now. She's calling.
Nothing.
All of my calls are going to voicemail. She has it on speaker. I was like, text him. You know, she's texting him. And I was like, she was like, your phone is about to die. My phone's like on 2%. Of course. I was like, get his best friend's number out of my phone and call him from yours. So she does. We call the freaking, how are they friends with him? Because he is so good.
Yes.
And they be dropping the ball. Just throwing it out there, but it's okay. So we call my kid's dad's best friend, also my daughter's godfather.
Yes.
We call him. He answers on the first ring.
Oh, okay. He will always come through.
Just all right, now. At 11 o'clock at night from an unknown number. He answers the phone and he gets in touch with my kid's dad. And he'll have to tell his side of the story one day. But basically, they were at the movies and he hops up from the middle of the movie. Like, what, 40 minutes away? Because you guys are in Virginia.
Yeah. Okay, so a little background. I was with her child's father.
Yeah.
When you were in labor. And not on the weird shit. But
they went as a group to get to see a movie.
So it was my child's father, me, him, and our friend. We all went to Tyson Corner. We went shopping for Black Friday. We were up there all day and we went to go see Creed 2.
Yeah.
We were in Creed 2. He got on his phone and like dipped out. And we were like, hold on, wait. And then our friend is like,
like, did not say anything. Yeah. Just hops out the movie theater.
Our friend looks at us and is like, she's in labor. And when I tell you, we ran from the movies to the car. Like, he was gone. Like, didn't know where he was. Couldn't find him. Like, all right, well, you drove in your car. Us three rode together. So we jumped. So our friend let Ty drive and was like, you drive. Mm-hmm. When I tell you, we got there in no time.
Y'all, first of all, this mall, this is from the mall to the hospital. I swear to God, I'm pulling it up on the GPS. It is not close. First of all, it's in a whole different state.
Right. It's in Virginia. We live in Maryland. She's in Maryland having a baby.
I'm dead ass going to pull up how far away it is because I need to tell y'all how insane.
Yeah, definitely.
It is that they got there as fast as they did.
As soon as he got the call and figured out why he left, it was like
42 minutes. Baby. The hospital and the mall that they were at is 42 minutes away. Swear to God, he got there in 20 minutes.
Yeah, because he got there a couple minutes before us.
And fucking flying.
We were flying. Like, if a cop pulled us over, you're going to pull up. You would follow us all the way to the mall.
Yeah, all the way to the hospital. Fuck it.
Because you were gone.
Like, yeah. So, okay, back to the hospital after, you know, they call or whatever. I push, like, 2 pushes. She's out. I remember crying when they told me I could start pushing because I was just like, so so I can't get an epidural. And although I plan to not get an epidural, when you're hit with the reality that you can't get one, it's not a choice. It's not even up to you. It's like, oh shit, I really have to do this. So I pushed twice. She came out. They placed her on my chest. I didn't even realize she had come out until they put her on my chest. And I just remember seeing her hair and like giving her a kiss. Like, I was so numb. I had no idea what was going on. I just gave her a kiss because I felt like that's what I was supposed to do. My mom cut her cord. And at this point, like, it was almost a minute had passed. She still was not breathing. So then they took her from me. And the nurse, like, took her to the back and did CPR. Still in the same room. It's off to the side. They're cleaning me up. About to get me to deliver my placenta. And all of a sudden, like, I hear her cry. And I didn't realize it, but I was holding my breath the whole time. And so then when I heard her cry, I kind of, like, you know.
It's like,
and
relief.
Then they took her to the NICU. So, and then the shit show started.
Yeah.
So they whisk her off to the NICU. I deliver the placenta. They start to give me stitches. My dad walks in while I'm getting my fucking stitches done.
Craziness.
I'm like fucking numb because I was 32 weeks. I am not supposed to be having a baby right now.
Yeah.
I'm like numb. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm in a different world. I'm having an out of body experience is the best way I can describe it. They, you know, get in touch with everybody. Like I said, it was the week of Thanksgiving. My whole family is at my house. So they all come to the hospital. After my dad, their godfather was the first one to get there.
Yeah.
So he comes, and then my kid's dad gets there. He comes in, and he comes over to me. He's just like, are you okay? And I was like, go see our baby in the NICU. I don't know if she's all right. So at that same time, a nurse was walking in, and she was just like, oh, is this dad? And I was like, yeah. And they were like, do you want to go meet your baby? And they were like, mom, baby is okay. She's fine. She's just, you know, premature. So he went back there to go see her. And then all of you guys got there and came. And I was like, damn, like, I didn't even tell my best friend I delivered or gave birth yet. So with my 1%, I made like 3 phone calls. And it literally was like, hey, my phone's about to die, but I deliver the baby. We're okay. I'll call you back when my phone is charged. Hang up. Call the next person. Hey, my phone is on 1%, but I had the baby. We're okay. I'll call you back for my phone charge. So, yeah, that was pretty much that. It was pretty hectic in there. I was just fucking out of it.
Yeah.
Y'all were asking if I was okay. Y'all was asking me questions, and I swear to God, I did not even hear a single thing that y'all were saying.
So, let's see. When we first got there, they had us wait in the waiting room for a little bit. And that's when everybody kind of trickled in. Like, they have a group chat, okay? Everything goes in the damn group chat. Everybody that was in that damn group chat was in that damn hospital, okay? And we all bombarded her right after. Yes.
Like, I am numb, okay? I am bleeding. I just had a very traumatic experience. Last I see my child, she was completely blue and ripped away from me. And now there's 8 people in my delivery room.
Yeah. And the delivery room was not big.
Hell no. It was the size of a closet. That shit was so small.
And then we're all like, is everything okay?
Yeah.
And I was like, all right.
And at the time, I just was like I said, like, I wasn't even worried about y'all. I was just thinking about the baby. But then, like, afterwards, and for a very long time afterwards, I was so upset that he had let that happen. Like, I put it on him because it is his fault. But it's not that I had anything against anybody who was there, because everybody genuinely wanted to know if I was okay.
Yeah.
Just like I said, my pregnancy, when I say we was going through some fucking shit, and I was in the headspace of all of your friends, all your family were in on it. They were all in on what you did to me. So fuck you and fuck them. And the audacity, they have to be in my delivery room, you know, type of thing. Eventually got over it, but definitely took some things with me into my next pregnancy, huh?
Yep, that was crazy.
So that was that. We were in the NICU for a month. We went through hell, really the first 2 years of her life, but just relationship issues, family issues, personal issues, you know, her health issues. It was just so much.
Yeah.
That, yeah. Yeah. she's healthy and she's strong now and she's the greatest big sister. So
it ended up okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh man. You want to tell them how you were born? So that was in 2018.
Yeah.
Fast forward to 2021. Got pregnant again. Knew immediately that I was pregnant. I found out in the parking lot of a CVS because I was waiting to test. But I was waiting to test this time when I got pregnant with Alea. So I went. Before I had to go into work, I stopped at CVS. I took the test in the CVS bathroom when I went back to my car and drove to work, let the test, you know, do its thing. And when I got to work, I took it out of my bag and shit was positive already. And I was only like 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And you were the first person that I called and told.
Yes, I remember. I was like, oh my God.
It was a really big deal. Because I went through a lot with my health like that past year and did not think that I was ever going to have any more children. Like doctors were pretty much like grateful that you have one.
Yeah.
So I was like losing my mind, happy. But then again, like all that trauma from being pregnant with Avi kind of carried over and I was like, holy shit. And plus like having miscarriages because I had more than one. It's just like, okay, like, do I even want to get excited yet?
Yeah. I remember it was Avi's birthday.
Yeah.
And
you
had found out you were pregnant again. This was before Alea.
Yeah. So before I got pregnant with Alea in 2021, in 2020, I was pregnant and I miscarried and was in the hospital on Avi's second.
Yeah. So when she got pregnant with Alea, I was like, oh my gosh, like, you know, when your friend has gone through something, it's like, okay, you know, you have to be that support person no matter what.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, she just told me she was pregnant. And I remember the last time she told me she was pregnant and what happened. So it's like, whatever happens, you have to be there.
Yeah, sure. Like, me getting pregnant, again, did not just affect me and my family. Like, it literally affected all of my friends.
Yeah.
So. Because you guys are the best. You guys are always there. But that's how I found out. Like I said, like I was excited, but like I became like really nervous really fast. I kept it a secret for a while. Then I told my baby daddy like a week later after I told you. Just because I wanted to sit and enjoy it. And I just feel like men ruin everything. So I told him, I don't remember what else was in the gift bag, but I put the pregnancy test at the bottom of a gift bag and I made him like run into the store to get us snacks. And when he came back to the car, I had the bag on his seat. That's how he found out. Like, he didn't have any reaction. Like, it wasn't like, oh my God, I'm so excited. But it also wasn't like, you know, what the fuck? He was just like, oh, so you're pregnant? And I was like, yeah. And that was it. We went to Rita's after and got ice cream. So that was that. And like I said, like, I kept everything a secret this time around because of all the shit that I went through the last time. Plus, just not knowing if you'll carry your baby to term or whatever is very scary. So I didn't even tell my family or nothing. And I didn't tell my other friends until like another month after that. Yeah. So when I told my other friend and we told my baby daddy's best friend, who are the girl's godparents, he made, well, I say we, I had help. I made them gift bags, basically asking them to be godparents again. And that's how I told them. She was super happy. She thought I was lying. And then I'm not sure what happened when he found out because I was there, but I'm sure he was excited. He texted me congratulations afterwards. So how was that? This time around, like, things were very uneventful.
Yeah.
And I was always expecting some chaos. And, you know, just it was uneventful, you know.
The trauma.
Yeah, and I was, like, waiting for some shit to happen, and it's just like, oh, nothing's gonna happen this time.
She called me, and she was like, when she posted that she was pregnant, it was like, okay, let's see what happens, and I'm just like, this is unreal.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like, you know, with everything going on, that's the last thing that I wanted her to worry about.
Mm-hmm.
Because you were literally in and out the hospital.
Yeah, so it was uneventful in terms of like drama and bullshit, but in terms of like my health, I was severely sick. Yeah. I had HG. I had to wear a Zofran pump. I was on 10 different fucking medications. I had a home health nurse. Like I said earlier, I lost 28 pounds. Probably a little bit more than that, but last time I checked, it was 28 pounds. On the floor, vomiting blood, sleeping on the bathroom floor. I mean, my daughter had to spend a lot of nights at her grandparents' house because I could not get her ready for school. Like, I didn't even have the energy to get myself out of bed and go to the bathroom. Like, it was horrible. The fucking sickness, insane. Fucking insane.
Yeah. It was just like, whenever she would call me and be like, how are you feeling? Like, are you okay? And I remember one day you called me crying. You were just like, can you just take Avi for a little bit?
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, we're on our way to the park right now. Just bring her to the park. Like, she'll have fun. It will be all right.
I remember that day. Like, I couldn't do it. I just could not do it. And every day I would just lay there and I was just like, you just have to get through the next hour. You just have to get through the next night. You just have to get through the next day and you'll have your baby. That's how badly I wanted her. Not to say that I didn't want Avi, but it's just a totally different situation.
Yeah, with like the background of it, especially with everything that went on, how sick you were. It was kind of just like, okay, let's make it through. Like, she was like texting me like, okay, we made it through this week.
Yeah. Like, hitting those weekly milestones were a huge deal. I never understood like girls who would post about making another week in their pregnancy. I'm like, girl, whatever. But I understood it then because I literally, like, no joke, this sounds so dramatic, but I thought I was going to die a couple of times.
Yeah.
I remember one time I was in the hospital and I got admitted for a couple of days. They were like, you know, you're showing signs of liver failure. And I was like, okay, like, what do we do about that? And honestly, like, once that damage is done to your organs, it's not reversible. So, like, even now, like, I still have those issues and problems. So, I was starving to death, couldn't drink water, and all while hiding this from pretty much everybody that I knew.
Yeah.
Only like 4 people knew.
Yeah. It was crazy. It was like,
we were trying to move. Oh my gosh. Fucking crazy. I was holding on by a thin thread in the grace of God.
She was 21 weeks and she was like, we made it to a vital point.
Yeah.
And I was like, yes. Like, it was like to the point where like I would talk to my child's father and be like, I really hope like this pregnancy goes through like full term. Like, we have no problems. Like, she's so sick, she's literally fighting for her life and also trying to keep a baby's life.
Yep. So it's like this looming threat of miscarriage again, which is devastating, and just trying to keep myself alive. It was so much. But I remember hitting that 21 week mark too, and I was just like, thank God I can breathe a little bit.
Yeah.
Not too much.
She was like, okay, we made it to this. Okay, I can breathe. And it was like, okay, but now we have to make it to this
point. Yep. I had really, really bad anxiety. And actually, I saw a couple of doctors, you know, when they start rotating you to all the OBs in the practice, like all of them told me that I have PTSD from my first pregnancy and miscarriages for sure. They were like, your anxiety is insane. So yeah, every week was just such a huge milestone. Like I said, I had the Zofran pump. I was taking that all day. And even then, like, I still wasn't eating, but at least I could get out the bed and go to work. But then around like the 25, 26 week mark, the nausea, the sickness. I'm not going to try and say words that are too hard. The sickness started to drop off significantly. And I felt so much better. I felt like almost half of a human being.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just spent the rest of the time trying to enjoy myself. This is also when I posted and also when I told my family. I let my baby daddy be in charge of telling his own family. So I don't know what that conversation was like. But I remember I was planning to come to my parents' house that weekend. And literally, like, that Thursday, like, a random Thursday morning, my mom called me. She's like, are you pregnant? She's like, I just know you are. So just tell me. And I just like bust out laughing. I was like, yeah. And so that's kind of how all of them found out. I FaceTimed my grandma and I was just like, hey, like, I just wanted to show you these pictures. And I showed her the ultrasound pictures and she cried. It was so cute. But just very different.
Yeah. It was funny because like literally she FaceTimed me and was like, oh, look at the stuff that I got so that I can tell my parents I'm pregnant. And then like a day or two later, yeah, she called me. She's like, my mom just asked me if I was pregnant. And I was like, oh my God.
I wanted to do it so cute, so bad, especially for my little sister.
Yeah.
Because she was mad when I was pregnant with Avi that I didn't tell her that she had to find out, you know, through the family. Granted, she was like 14. How old is she? How old am I? She was 12. Okay. And I was fucking fighting for my life, trying to figure out where I was going to live. I'm not worried about telling you, girl, but I felt bad. So I had some really cute plan for her. I still gave her something. She was annoyed. She was like, you didn't tell me this time either, but she was okay at the end of the day. And yeah, towards the end of my pregnancy, the pains and everything came back. I started going to preterm labor.
Yes.
At 29 weeks. And I was like, oh shit, it's happening, it's happening, it's happening. They tried to stop it, which helped for a couple of days. Then yeah, I was back in the hospital. I spent like the past 2 years of my life in the hospital.
Yeah. It was to the point where we were like, okay, we got to November and we were like, okay, she either needs to come in the first 2 weeks or she needs to wait until December because Avi's birthday is like
23rd.
Yeah, yeah. So it's just like, okay, you either come these 2 weeks or you gotta wait.
And every day it was like such a guessing game. Like, and with the doctors too, they're like, okay, do we just induce you? Because you're already like 3 centimeters dilated. Do we just push this through or do we just wait? When I tell you, I sat at 4 centimeters for weeks in the most excruciating fucking pain of my life. But even before we get to that point, you know, back around 30 weeks, they decided that they were going to induce me. And I was just like, okay, whatever. Went in and tried to induce me for 2 days.
Oh my God, I remember.
And nothing fucking happened. And they didn't want to push too much because I was so premature.
Yeah.
But they did take like those first initial steps. Like I got the balloon to try and encourage me to dilate for like, we tried pretty much everything but Pitocin.
Yeah.
And the induction failed. So I just spent like the past 2 days in the most excruciating pain for nothing to go home still pregnant.
Right. I called her. So I knew when she got it in and I knew when she had to go to the doctors and see everything. I called her. I was like, baby, no.
Nope.
Baby? No.
No.
And I was like, all right, now she's playing.
Yeah, I felt like the boy who cried wolf because everybody's just like, so what's going on? And I would break down and be like, I don't fucking know. I don't know, okay? She's playing like she wants to come, then she doesn't. Yep. Then I got a tear in my waters.
Yes.
So I was literally leaking amniotic fluid forever.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't even remember. This is not that long ago.
So one day she called me and she's like, I think I'm in labor. Avi was at school and he was at work. And I was like, all right, I'm leaving work. Left work, called my mom, was like, I need someone to pick up Tiana. I think Day's in labor right now. And she was at work. My child's father was at work. So
everybody was at work. At this point, I decided to stop working because it was too much.
Yeah. So I called her grandfather and he's like, I'll pick her up. So I got that situated. I came up here, I took her to the hospital. They made me leave because of fucking COVID.
I spent every hospital trip alone.
Yeah, because of COVID.
Mm-hmm. And every doctor's appointment, which was something I was really looking forward to this time, was having at least one person be with me because I came with Avi. Like, I went to every appointment alone.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, COVID ruined that for me, too. But, yeah, there's so many times, you know, I got rushed to the hospital because we thought I was in labor, which technically I was in labor, but my labor kept starting, stopping.
Yeah.
And so then the week I gave birth, I had a meltdown. I was like, I cannot do this anymore. I cannot go on another day. I cannot do this. Yeah. And I would just lay in the bed and cry all day long. And then the night I went into labor, We went into bed, all three of us in one bed, because Abby does not want to sleep alone. But I woke up at 1 o'clock with the sharpest contraction that took my breath away again. And I was like, fuck is this? And in my head, I was like, this is it. But I was also sleepy. So I was like, maybe it didn't hurt that bad. Let me go to the bathroom real quick and see if that was a real contraction. I went to the bathroom. I went pee. And they just started coming. And by the third contraction, I went and I woke my baby daddy up. And I was like, we got to get to the hospital now. I was like, it's time. And so he's getting up. He's getting Avi ready. I called Naya because she lives, you know, like 10 minutes away. I was like, hey, like, can you get Avi? Like, I have to go to the hospital now. I'm moaning, I'm groaning, I'm screaming. He's talking to me. We get into it, trying to get into the car. Because I don't know why people think you should talk to a woman while she's having a contraction. But you should not talk to a woman while she's having a contraction. We make it outside. I thought I was going to give birth in the parking lot because they started coming. And I'm bleeding. And I was like, I cannot get in the car. I cannot. I'm shaking from the pain. But we make it to the hospital. We get inside. They take me to the room. Baby daddy has to stay and do like the COVID clear test, whatever. I don't give a fuck if he is there at this point. I'm just like, please get me to this room. As soon as I hit the door, I'm like, can I get an epidural? Because I know it can take a while. Yeah. And so I'm like, as soon as I hit that door, I'm asking, can I get an epidural? And they're like, yep, get your clothes off, whatever. We'll work on it. We got to do your blood work first. And I was like, how long is that going to take? I'm about to push in 2 minutes. But I get the epidural in time, which at this point, I did not even need it. I got it after like transition was over. And I don't know if you experienced this, but I experienced this both times. I like get like this wave of nothingness and like my body is like shaking right before I'm about to push and deliver. That happened to me with both of the girls. And so as soon as the epidural came, like I got like that mellow numbness and I like literally again had like this out of body experience and I started to shake. And then they checked me and they were like, oh my God, like your water already broke. They were like, let's check you again. They're like, yeah, you can start pushing now. Because when I got there, I was 7 centimeters. So like 10 minutes later, I was 10 and push, and out came this one. I didn't tear with her big self. She was, how big were you? 7'11", I think, or 7'10". I think 7'10". And Avi was 4'15". But yeah. Just totally different experiences with the two. The only thing that they ever took her to the nursery for is she was jaundiced. Had to do like the blue light therapy. But totally different the second time around.
it was something else. It was just like, okay, let's wait and see what happens. I tore a little bit. I tore enough to get one stitch.
Yeah.
I literally had one.
With Avi, I had like 3. Which is crazy to me because she was so small. And I'm like, what did I tear for? But probably because it happened so fast. And I think she was weak of the way she came out. Yeah. When I was in the thick of it, I thought it would never end. Yeah. I thought I was going to be pregnant and miserable until the day I died. But made it to the other side. And I feel so good. And this time around, this little one is just sleeping on me.
That is our birth stories in everything in a nutshell.
Pretty much.
Crazy.
I don't look forward to doing it ever again.
I know I'm not getting induced the next time. I don't care what I have to do. She will come.
I really want a water birth. A birth center. There's not a lot of those though where we live at. Trust me, I try to find them.
I always see it and I'm like, ooh.
Oh man. Well, we hope you guys enjoyed hearing about how we became moms. If you'd like to share your story, hit us up on Instagram.
Yes.
Okay, we'll see you next Monday.
Next Monday.